Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, last week on Tuesday, we saw the release of the October World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates and Crop Production Report from the USDA. The report brought with it a few surprises. We saw, as expected, an increase in yield for soybeans in the U.S., and we saw an increase in the corn yield, but both were a little bit higher than the trade expected. There were a few other numbers that we saw that were a little bit higher than the trade expected as well. It was an overall bearish report for corn and soybeans and a bullish report friendly for the wheat markets. After the report on Tuesday last week, I talked with Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net, and I first asked Jim about his biggest takeaway from the report, and he pointed to the soybean market.
Well, I think the biggest takeaway probably on the bean market is I think the bean market right now, fundamentally, Jesse, is probably in trouble at this point in time. As the old axiom goes, big crops get bigger. This crop was a bigger adjustment. The guess pretty much came in right where our ag market team was thinking, and I think in general it's going to get bigger. Our producers we've talked to across the country keep are very pleasantly surprised, plain and simple, about how these beans are coming out of the field, and this crop's going to get bigger. And, you know, we saw that revision, the carryout grew. But we're also a bit fearful of the demand side of the equation. The government chose to leave the demand unchanged. And I know a lot of people are surprised by that, Jesse, simply because of the weakness we've seen recently due to Hurricane Ida. You could argue that the government needs to cut 100 million, maybe as much as 200 million off that demand number. Now, I think we got to keep an eye on it. If we do not see this export pace pick up over the next 30, 90 days, let's say going into the January WASD, do not be surprised to see that demand get curtailed. But on the other hand, if Brazil stumbles a little bit, dryness issue starts to wreak a little bit of havoc due to La Nina, then that demand that may we're fearful may be lost may not be lost, and that'll help kind of tighten that balance, keep that balance sheet from getting too burdensome.
Next, I asked Jim about whether or not he thinks we've priced in some of this downside move in soybeans or not. Here's what he had to say.
I think we're going to get a temporary bounce. We've had three hard days down. It wouldn't surprise me to get a bounce kind of like a midway point of today's range. We did hear rumors of China pricing 6-8 cargoes of beans out of the P&W on this break. So I wouldn't be surprised to get some of a bounce on that. But I think near term, the market probably has opened up to test that low made on the March 31st WASD number, I believe at 1184. That may be what it takes before we wash the final bull out of the marketplace.
I also asked Jim McCormick about the corn side of the balance sheet. There were a few changes there, a few surprises. Here's what he had to say about corn.
Well, the corn number came in about 6/10 higher than what the ag market team was thinking. I think in general, we were in line with the number, Jesse, was in line with what the traders thinking. The crop in the east shrunk back. Illinois, Indiana's crop, they all kind of got lowered a little bit, while the crop in the west, where you're at, Iowa, increased. And I think that was anticipated. Now the real question is, though, when you take a real deep dive into the numbers, they're still looking at a record corn yield in parts of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan are still looking at record yields. And I got to believe there's a shot that those numbers will tail off as we get into the latter part of harvest. We've got a lot of customers in the Eastern Corn Belt talking about down corn right now. Stock quality is a huge issue. The disease issues we've heard people talking about has not gone away. So I would expect that those Eastern Corn Belt, it's a monster crop. It's going to shrink back. And then the real question is, as the crops improve in the West, is it going to be enough to offset it? It wouldn't shock me if that yield tip back just a little bit. But in general, I think it's close to dial in. And then what we're really going to focus in on, Jesse, is demand. And that demand really is going to be China. The government has China importing 20 million metric tons of corn this year, Jesse, compared to 30 million last year. We think that may be too low. When you look at the China ending stock numbers, this crop was revised lower by the Chinese recently. Our belief is China's probably going to have to import more than 20 million to keep their food prices stable. So I think that's something we need to keep an eye on. If we're right, that'll help stabilize the corn ending stocks and drop it back from the 1.5 number it's currently at.
And lastly, I asked him for any advice he has for producers as they're working through harvest and maybe taking a look at their marketing plan after this October WASD.
Well, right now, I think if you're a producer and you haven't done a whole lot of marketing, we've got a lot of unpriced bushels and you're very nervous about this market, consider buying like a $5 put, maybe in the December, even go out to March, buy a $5 put. And, you know, if you want to cheapen it, consider selling a 550, 575 call and bracket yourself overall. Like I said, in general, I'm a little bit friendly corn down near $5. I think end users should do it. But the reality is we're world is a very scary place right now and things change on a dime. So if you want to manage risk, consider it. I think if you're worried about something right now, I'm a little bit more worried about beans. Like I said, I do think this bean crop's going to get bigger. I'd encourage producers to continue to move beans out of the field if they need it. They want to re-own it, you can go out to July. There's not much carry in the market. I'm put some vertical call spreads in the July if you want to play the what if on the weather market in South America. Because the other thing we're worried about of beans in our group is recommended being at least 50% sold on the 22 beans is the bean acreage. We think this fertilizer price as well as logistics and just being able to get it is going to swing a lot of bean acres in. And, you know, that could struggle the beans. If you throw a big bean crop with Brazil in, and we do not make any catch-up export sales, we are looking at a bean carryout that could balloon over 500 million. And the reality is, you know, that does 500 million carryout, in my opinion, does not represent $12 beans.
And again, that's Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net giving us some thoughts on the October WASDE report that came out last week. In other news, the Dairy Checkoff is launching a new wave of the Undeniably Dairy campaign to create deeper connections between Gen Z and dairy. Reset Yourself with Dairy is a youth-centric evolution of the Checkoff's consumer campaign and will use various marketing strategies, including gaming, social media influencers, and digital content to engage with Gen Z to grow sales and trust of dairy. Launched on Wednesday of last week, the campaign centers on four aspects of dairy's wellness benefits that Checkoff-led consumers research found resonates and drives purchase decisions with Gen Z. Those aspects are immunity, calm, energy, and digestive health. Dairy's role in offering wellness benefits will be featured on a variety of media channels. Ann Warden of Dairy Management, Inc. says, quote, "To compete in today's environment, we will create big, disruptive moments that reassert dairy's place in young people's lives in a way that is in the social media and entertainment spaces they love and speaks their language," end quote. And a group of 12 lawmakers recently penned a letter to the U.S. Trade Representative about the growing influence of the Chinese Communist Party in Latin America and Caribbean trade and economic development. Arkansas Republican Representative Rick Crawford announced the effort last week. In a letter to Trade Representative Catherine Tai, lawmakers asked for immediate attention to the issue. Crawford says China has now surpassed the United States and is the largest non-continental trading partner for 54% of South America. The lawmakers say the recent increase of engagement in the Western Hemisphere is a great cause for concern, given China's publicized strategy of becoming a world superpower and dominating the economic stage. The lawmakers jointly write, quote, "Before long, China will be significantly positioned to completely dominate Western Hemisphere economics," adding, "We believe that it is of the highest priority for the U.S. to keep its relationship strong with our neighbors in the Western Hemisphere," end quote. And that's going to do it for another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you and yours a great rest of your day.